Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be sharing with you how you can not only make space in your life for yourself, but also for maybe that special someone that is in your life. Today, we have a wonderful guest, Bob Bukikio, and he is with us. We're going to be talking about his book, Taking Space. Taking space, how to use separation to explore the future of your relationship. Bob, welcome to the show.
Well, Donna, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's always good to talk to a fellow paisano.
Yes. You could guess that by my name, I think, huh?
I think so, yes. And I checked with you earlier to make sure that we were going to be able to connect as we are right now. I told you that my background is Italian, and it's always good to check in with another paisano, like I said. Now, Bob, your proper name is Robert, so I hope you don't mind me calling you Bob.
Bob is what everybody calls me.
Wonderful. You have had quite a fascinating background in your life. This book has been a work of, I think, love and sincere caring for people, and that's why I was so impressed with it. But you have quite a bit of background in psychology. You got your degree from the University of Rhode Island. You also got an MSW degree in clinical social work from Ohio State University. You hold diplomats from the American Board of Examiners in Clinical Social Work and the National Association of Social Workers. You have been the Vermont chapter president. You are also a licensed clinical social worker in Vermont, and you've had your own private mental health practice specializing in working with couples for, my goodness, a number of years, well over 27 years. You do workshops with couples. You also teach at Vermont College and Norwalk University. You've been involved with the American Humane Association Children's Division and the Action for Child Protection. You've been the executive director of the West Yavapai Mental Health Clinic and the chief social worker, holding the rank of captain at the U.S. Army Hospital in Seoul, Korea. Your background has been very much involved with helping people to have better lives. You also are a founder of the Hospice Program of Central Vermont, and you work with people in communicating in their needs to improve their communication skills. You have a passion for your work. Bob, why did you start this journey? What was it that made you decide that enabling communication among people working in this area was so important to you?
Donna, I need to have you repeat that question. I don't know whether it's on your side or mine.
Okay. I don't either. I know we're getting a lot of feedback on your phone line.
Okay. Let me just...
There we go.
Is that better?
Oh, that's fabulous.
Okay. We're in now. Sorry.
We're in now. What I want to... Yeah. What my question was to you is, with all of your background and your experience, working with people and working with their communication skills is so very, very important to you. Why? So many individuals in the world today, as I think it's always been, they say, why is it so important to communicate? Why is it it was so important to you to be able to develop your own skills so that you could empower other people?
Well, that's a great question. I love that because it kind of goes back to I kind of knew that I wanted to work with people, boy, before I was in high school. So it feels like a calling for me anyway, more than anything. I remember I was in high school, and a good buddy of mine gave me games people play, and that was very popular back in the late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, early 60s, 1959, 1960. And I read it. He said, "Hey, Bob, you might be interested in this." And I read it, and I said, "Wow." And I kind of knew right from the beginning, I was always involved in other people's relationships, and people would come to me and tell me about relationships. So for some reason, I started in this area and just found profound interest in it. My as most people have come from families with various degrees of dysfunction, so I think with my own family, I struggled with trying to be heard and communicating, and I was always thinking, boy, if my parents had a better way of talking instead of fighting, maybe they can get along better. So I remember as a little kid just thinking in this way. So I believe that, and then when I went on to graduate school, to undergraduate school, I had no idea what I was going to do. But back then, it was in the 60s. It was at being an engineer. So I started out like everybody else, University of Rhode Island. I was an engineer, and I didn't even know which end of the slide rule to turn upside down. But after about one semester of taking calculus, I said, oh, boy, I think I need to get into human engineering. And I transferred over into psychology, and I was at home. I felt like this is right where I want to be. I always loved people and liked to work with people and was fascinated by human beings. I said, it's always been my study. So I think that has been, that is sort of where it started. And then I started working with couples way back. You say, what is somebody that's newly married working with, people who have been married and divorced and older people because, do we know what we're doing? People have asked that even when they come to a counselor. They said, well, how do you know? You're young. You're right out of school. What do you know about 10 years or 20 years of being married? And I did it, obviously. I had skills. I had known things. I learned things in school. But I started my application at that point. I was teaching people basic skills. The experience probably was not there, and I'll admit that now as an older person. But and through the years, that's built. It's built on itself, and I think my knowledge base is built. And I find that communication process between people fascinating. And because it expresses you, it expresses your inner self. We have the power of words, and a lot of people struggle with that. They either don't have vocabulary, they don't know how to express themselves. What I hear all the time is, he doesn't talk enough. He doesn't express himself. I need to be able to talk and relate. And so that's my fascination with that, how we can become better at knowing just who we are inside and how we can get that out to our other. That's the only way we can work with each other, is to show that and express that and show our concern, our compassion, and so forth with each other. So I hope that answers it somewhat anyway.
Yes, I think it does. Now, you have in the very beginning of your book a quote by a woman that I have a great deal of regard for, and that's Virginia Satir. And I want to share this with my audience because I think the skill of communication is so very important. And it's important for anyone at any time in any part of the world. This is what Virginia had to say, and she was so renowned as a counselor. Allow yourself to become intimately connected with all your parts. So free to have options freely and creatively, to know that whatever was in the past was the best that we could do, because it represented the best we knew. It represented the best in our consciousness. As we move towards knowing more, being more conscious, we also then become more connected with ourselves. And in connecting with ourselves, we can form connections with others. I had someone as a guest not too long ago, Bob, who gave the statistic that 50% of the marriages today end in divorce.
Yep.
A good portion of those marriages were based on a lack of communication.
Yes.
And here you are in an environment with couples. You just mentioned a moment ago how the wife maybe says, "Well, my husband never talks to me," or the husband says, "My wife just clams up. What do you do?" When all of us have come from various backgrounds, various experiences, and we enter into this union called marriage, little do we realize, nor are we educated about this, that there are no rules, really. We're coming in cold turkey often, and we're just at a loss, and we go, what? I thought this was a sweet, wonderful, loving person. We had great sex, but my God, I can't stand them at the breakfast table.
Boy, that's so right on. I had a man today that I have seen over the years, and he's in a fairly new relationship, and he said, oh, it was wonderful. We lived in different households, and now we are finally moved in for the last 6 months, and I didn't realize how much she snored.
Don't you just love it?
I thought that was great. He said, I can't sleep. And it was like, we're in love, and she snores. And it was hilarious. And it brought to roost what your point is around, boy, as we get to know each other, we get to see more and more of each other. How do we deal with those differences? And it's not that somebody's bad or good, but we're different. Very different, as you well just said.
Absolutely. So here we have a situation, and, you know, you brought up this instance with this friend of yours, and the first thing that I thought was, gee whiz, they just need to have extra large bedrooms. You know?
That's right. Well, what happens then if somebody moves out of the bedroom and says, I need to have, you know,
sleep.
Some soundproof between us here, you know? And
yeah.
And I laughed. We both laughed. He said, I just can't believe it. He said, and then, you know, there were other differences too, but that was one he was surprised by. I said, well, didn't she snore when you were visiting each other and, you know, when you were in different households? He said, yeah, but it was just the weekends. I could get over it. I could go home and get a good night's sleep for a week.
But he can't do it otherwise. Oh, that's so funny. Well, here we are. We have a situation. Now, this is something you're able to laugh over, but there are other situations that evolve. You know, people get married, they have children, and maybe they find that they're not able to live together. And as a counselor, I've encountered this with some people. Now, a lot of people do have to get the divorce. It's just not going to make it. But there's other ways of dealing with a situation, and that's part of what your book, Taking Space, is all about. How we can use separation to explore where a relationship can go. And I've known of people who have been legally separated for years and have a wonderful communication status. They don't want to be divorced from each other. So let's go into that arena a little bit, because that's not something we hear talked about in very, very rarely.
Yeah. I have found, and this is interesting, because the first thing is there's horrible statistics on separations. I mean, we can log marriages because they all have to go through the courts and they get registered, and when they do the census and all the rest of that stuff, they know how many people get divorced. But there are little to no statistics on separation. If you try to research separation, you don't find anything. I think one man who wrote a book 30 years ago tried to gather some kind of statistics, and he basically went to the courts and found out how many divorces were withdrawn. So he said those people are still together. How many people are not married and separate and then get back. So he was speculated that, you know, at least half of the people who separate get back together again. And he said there's a lot more separations than there are divorces. So, but there's poor statistics on it. Now, when I do, I take some history from people, I often hear, well, we were separated for 3 months or 6 months, or boy, we spent a year apart and we're still together. In some of the longer term marriages, you know, people have stayed separated. So I know for a fact that separations do not automatically lead to breakup or divorce. That's the first myth I say that people hear. So you hear, boy, we're separating, and a lot of people, oh, poor you. When are you getting divorced?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't necessarily mean divorce. But when people used to come to me as a young counselor, I was kind of stuck, because one person would say, I want to work on the marriage or on the relationship, and the other person would say, I'm not sure what I want. I'm not sure I want to right now. And my hands were tied, and I didn't know which way to go with these folks. So what I basically did was I would dismiss them and say, well, we really can't work on the marriage until you're both ready to work on it. And what I realized over the years is that I missed a major opportunity to work with those people, because just because the marriage was stuck, it didn't mean the individuals had to be stuck at that point. And by working on themselves and beginning some kind of a structure to help them, they actually freed up energy to work on themselves and therefore the relationship. And that was a major turning point. And that's what was sort of the beginning of my ideas about writing this book. I said, people are really lost at this point. They do not know where to go, and they do not know what they need or want. They need a starting point. So that was the idea behind the ten steps. So I saw it as an opportunity rather than a disaster at that point. It was kind of a new way of looking at a separation as a growth opportunity, and use that struggle, use that conflict between people to help them, you know, first of all, help settle the conflict or reduce it somewhat, and then start to learn from it. Not just have the conflict just propel them out of the marriage or out of the relationship. So,
I think your points are very, very good points. And one of the perspectives that I think so frequently is missed is making either one of the people a bad person. Often we are attracted to an individual that has the strengths that we lack. And you have a wonderful story in here about a couple, Mary and John. And part of what happens in a marriage, I believe, is that you grow up. You have to deal with everyday realities. I mean, the toilets need to be cleaned, the babies can get sick, you have death, you have trauma, you have all kinds of things. And what makes a good partnership, a real compatibility, it's not the romance that you see in all these movies and all these, you know, all of the gymnastics that are performed, but what it is, are you going to want to be with each other when you're old and gray? And can you talk with each other? Can you cry with each other? Can you share things? And can you disagree with each other? And can that be all right? I think that's so important. And Mary and John went through something like that. And Mary had her hang-ups because she wanted to make John bad guy all the time. And then John had his issues. Tell us a little bit about this couple and how they finally were able to realize that as two people, they had a lot to offer each other, and they really did have a very good marriage here.
That's right. And it's not an uncommon situation. I will often hear more often from women about men, about their men, sometimes from men about their women, that boy, he needs to grow up. He's like one of my kids, and I have to pick up after him, and I have to tell him what to do. He's not an equally responsible adult with me, and that creates a lot of resentment. I check this out with my couples when I work with them, is that a lot of women, a lot of girls, will grow up very, very fast and become very responsible, even as little girls. They're usually more verbal, they do their homework more quickly, they're more responsive, they just get into it and take on a lot more. Even in families, they'll become little moms in a sense. Whereas guys, you know, tend to do that in some respects, but they're also, there's more playing, there's more fun, and so forth. And I find that there's an attraction there, because some women who are over-responsible or very responsible will be attracted sometimes to a man who is less responsible, who can play, who can let down, who can have fun, who doesn't take life so serious. And boy, I like that trait. This is what some women will say. I really like that trait because I want some of that for me. He makes me feel like I can let go and I can have fun. Well, that's a great initial start. And then there's an attraction. But guess what happens? After a while, that becomes a liability to the relationship. And where it started out as kind of an asset. And why it becomes a liability is because I still have to be super responsible. And now, after the romance is over, as you well just said, now we're into reality of this relationship, and I've got to take care of him too. I've got to remind him about things. I've got to remind him that I'm working on things. I expect him to walk in the house and kind of know that I need help, or know that he's got to work with the kids or take care of things, and so on. And I don't want to have to keep making lists or remind him, so I become like a mom. and that becomes such a pattern in a relationship. So that's what happened with Mary and John, and I think it was okay with the first child because Mary was able to handle that, and it was her first kid. And the second one, it was a little much. She worked. Now she came home to take care of two kids, and pretty soon, as we all know, that's a prescription for burning out if you have no way of taking care of yourself, becoming depressed and becoming kind of all work and no play.
Mm-hmm.
John, of course, still had his, you know, his time out with the guys. He played with the kids. He watched a lot of TV, and the resentment just built with Mary and built and built and built. And she, of course, had no way to reach him. I think another, you know, very, very popular and famous marriage counselor, John Gottman, talks about how much influence a woman or a partner may have with another partner, and he puts this up really high as being a real important factor. How much you can influence your partner, how much you accept influence from your partner, and I would agree with that. That is a factor. When somebody says, "Boy, I can't influence him at all. He won't listen to me, or I can't get to first base with her," that's often a negative sign of where you just can't communicate. People don't understand each other. So, like, Mary could not get into John. She could not understand, and she was just fit to be tied at this point. She was angry a lot. She tried yelling, and they fought with each other. Nothing. She made no headway. So, basically, what she did, and again, this is a representative of a lot of situations, through some help, she realized, well, I've got to take care of myself. I've got to stop being so angry. It wasn't the final answer, but it wasn't going to go anywhere because she was making herself miserable. So she learned how to settle herself down. She spoke with friends. I think she got some counseling. She did some things to say, I've got to get in charge of me. She was already doing all the work, so that was, she just had to handle it a little differently. But that wasn't over, because as she settled down some, then she had to think, where do we go with this relationship? Can I talk to John? Can I get him to understand how hard it is for me and how I'm all alone in this thing? And he still didn't get it. So her ultimate protest was to say, we can't live together. We need to get some space. And I often find that is that ultimatum, either we work on this or I want a separation, is very, very powerful. And that's where people will say it goes nowhere else. And if you want to put some attention on a relationship and get the attention of the other person, that will do it. Because now you're saying, I'm just not playing this game of being mad and we're going back and forth. I have no way. If you've tried other things and you can get in that way, great. When you can't and you're up against the wall, I think Mary finally had it. Said, I'm taking care of myself better now, and this is not working for me, John. So, John, I need some space to decide whether I want this or not. So I think that was the beginning of a change process for them. Mary, her feelings were pretty well shot at that point because she was thinking, I have so much resentment. Even being in the same room with John just triggered her off. So sometimes getting some space at that point can be helpful. Because people say, boy, we just can't even be together. They need to perhaps be away from each other for a while, in the same house, wherever, but just get some space with each other. And that can become a first step in a change process.
Now, they were eventually able to see through some things. But here again, this was something for Mary that she had to decide herself. And what I liked about the story is that she took a positioning of responsibility. Instead of saying, gee, it's all his fault, it's like, wait a minute, I've got to start getting my act together. And then as she started doing that, then she had some clarity and then could make some decisive decisions.
That's exactly right, Donna. That's exactly right.
And with that, then it's like John goes, wait a minute, this isn't going according to the script that I thought.
John's power at that point kind of got reduced in terms of his taking a stance saying, she can't move me. I could stay here. I could do whatever I want. She started to take care of herself. He had no more influence over pushing all of her buttons. I always say, get the remote away from John. He can no longer control her feelings with that remote.
Mm-hmm.
And she then decided, but he thought maybe that was it. But the next step was, I need a partner that's going to be an equal partner to me and help with the kids and with the housework and with the responsibilities and so forth. That's where the second part came in. And I think it was only in that, by John being away from her for a period of time, I can't recall how long they separated for, it was a few months, and he had to take care of the kids himself at times. That gave him a major appreciation for Mary in terms of the amount of work that went in, because he had no time for himself. He was exhausted. He realized, boy, this is work. As you said before, you have to do things. You have to take care of things. The family's responsible, and that was a major get for him. And I think I always say Mary's stock went up at that point. And he then had the courage to come and say, Mary, I can understand what you want and what you need. And that was a turning point for them. It was a grow-up period, I think, for John. He really got some important insights to her, to Mary, and to maybe family life. So,
I think that is one of the gifts that your book gives, is the various positionings of attitudes, feelings, and that many times our own ignorance, perhaps from a different cultural background, we have so many variables that can be brought into a relationship, and you're not going to find, at least I haven't found this, not only in my own personal experience, but also in experiencing interaction with thousands of people through the years, there's no add water mix and you've got it all figured out. It's often a process of understanding how someone's gotten to a particular positioning. And sometimes you may never know all the information, but it is how do you adjust? It's sort of like correcting the seasoning in a dish that you're preparing. You have oregano that works well with some foods, and you have cayenne pepper that works better with others, and other times you better leave the process out entirely. So it is really an adventure of its own type. And your book, Taking Space, How to Use Separation to Explore the Future of a Relationship, Bob, I think it's just a book that gives a perspective that all too seldom is looked at. I think it's an either-or in the minds of many counselors and many people, and it doesn't need to be that way.
That's right. It's a journey and it's a process, as you just said. And I'm really glad you brought the whole idea of culture into this, because you not only have, you know, cultures from different ethnic backgrounds and so forth that you may come from, but you also have the culture of the family you grew up in. And that's where you learn, you know, well, Dad never talked to Mom, or Mom did all the work in the house, or Dad went out with his friends all the time and he was never home, or he spent all of his time at work. So you learn all of those skills. That's your blueprint. That's what you have in your head. You know nothing else. And boy, when you grow up, you're a captive audience, because you're there. And that stuff is just, I say, you kind of get brainwashed to the family you grew up in. Now, if you're fortunate enough to have to learn some good skills, and your parents seem reasonably okay with each other, but many people grow up with a single parent today. Many people grow up in all different kinds of households. And so I get a lot of people say, I don't even know how to relate to the opposite sex, or even the same sex for that matter. I don't know how to be in a relationship. And I think that's where it gets difficult, is people do have to learn something. And I put a lot of emphasis on how people manage conflict. It's those first two steps, and how they communicate with each other, the process of how they communicate with each other, because I think that underlies everything else that they do. If two people can learn to listen to each other and come out of themselves a little bit and try to understand the other person, and maybe that's a model for the whole world at this point, the way things are going, but that becomes vital in terms of just trying to say, how do we then work together with this? How can we understand? And so, as you said before, some people will realize in that process that we are just not compatible. We are on opposite ends of the world. Your needs and my needs are never going to be met here the way we want them, and maybe it's best to not be together. But many people don't even know that. They don't know what they don't know until they get into it more. And I think that process of understanding and understanding oneself and expressing oneself to the other, you can learn a lot. And that gives you a better idea of whether the relationship is going to go anywhere. and you have a chance of making it. We can grow and we can understand, and sometimes that's all it takes. We're at a stuck point, and unfortunately we're in such a hurry up fast food economy and world today that I don't want to hurry. I don't want to wait for something. I want it today. I want it now. And if it's not working, then, you know, package it up, put it in the garbage can, and get something else. And hopefully this is a way to call time out. I call it a pause to sort of say, boy, it's an important decision. I talked to a couple today that have been together for 25 hours. Oh, boy, here we go, 25 years. And they were in my office for 25 hours. But I said that it's too important a decision to jump out of this relationship and not give it the time it needs before you go on. They've got two wonderful kids, and just because they're separating, this is a chance. And you actually see people look hopeful at that point, even if it means we might not make it, because they now have a process. I've kind of coined that and said this is a way to take a break before they actually break up.
My guest, Robert, we are out of time. I'm sorry. I have to cut you off there. As you can tell, he has a passion for giving empowerment to people. If you're having difficulties in a relationship, take time to get his book, Taking Space. Bob Bucchio has a website, takingspace.com. takingspace.com. Bob, thank you so much for being my guest
thank
today.
Thank you. This has been wonderful.
This has been a delight. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for a moment or two, and then we'll be right back. Don't you go away now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and hey, if you want to call in and chat with me, let me give you the telephone numbers to call in to. We have 877, whoops, I just realized I misplaced my telephone numbers. Let me get them out here so that I have them handy. We have 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or from Canada, 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Give me a call at any one of those telephone numbers, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, Just let me share with you what I perceive, and you're welcome to ask me any question that you like about anything. I do want to let you know that tomorrow we are going to be getting your life organized. Yes! We're going to be talking with Jennifer Loden. Innes is a lady that is just delightful. We're going to have a good time, and if you have felt like your life has been flip-flopping around like a fish out of water, well, we're going to help you get that all straightened out. And then next week, we've got a wonderful lineup of guests. We're going to be talking about, on Monday, the importance of civility. Now, I would use a different word. I think I would use manners. And it seems like, well, you know, there's just so much going on in life. And we have forgotten how to be thoughtful and courteous. And Terry Bogorod is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about that very important subject. Then we're going to be talking with Dr. Eve Wood, 10 Steps to Take Charge of Your Emotional Life. Wonderful lady. Then if you like getting into the paranormal, we're going to have Marie Jones. So Science is the title of the book. It's spelled P-S-I-E-N-C-E. So it's Psi, Science. Fascinating material, and I know that you'll enjoy it. And then for those of you who are out there looking for that special someone, you're not going to want to miss Tricia Ventier. She put out a book that really has some stories in it, The Internet Dates from Hell. Yes, yes, and I'm sure there's a few of you out there saying, wow, could I tell some stories? Well, Tricia is going to be sharing some of hers. And then we're going to be talking with Kathy Reynolds next week, who, in working with horses, has incorporated a technique with yoga. And it worked with the animals as well as for her. A fascinating story. So a very unique lineup of guests, which is pretty typical with the Donna Sebo Show. But more than that, it allows us to see there's a whole bunch of people out there doing their own thing and making this world a different place, a much better place, because they're expanding in their thinking and how they approach life. Well, during the hour today, I'm going to be giving you your spring horoscope forecast, and I'll probably be talking about Capricorns and Aquarians and those under the sign of Pisces. In fact, why don't I do that right now? This is just an overview. It's real fun. But for the month of March, well, if you're born under the sign of Capricorn, you may find that romance is important to you during this period. And if you're single, you may be looking for that special someone. So during the month of April, just be yourself. Enjoy being the person you are. And if you're out there trying to find that special someone, you may find yourself attracting a very pleasant person into your environment. Also, pay attention to what you're doing at work. You may find there's an opportunity coming your way, and know that building up social situations will be very, very important to you. And during the month of May, for those of you who are under the sign of Capricorn, you'll get the inspiration you need to really get going on a project that is very special to you after the 15th of May, and you're not going to have any problems getting your goals accomplished. And you know what? You're going to get noticed for what you do as well. For those of you born under the sign of Aquarius, don't be shy about being in the spotlight, because by golly, during this month of March, people are going to be paying attention to you. You've worked hard for the results that you're getting, and you are going to be recognized for it. Also, if you're married, you may find that your spouse could be a little unsettled if your career really takes off. So just understand, it's okay. You're going to be just fine. April, this is a good time for those of you under the sign of Aquarius to get some rest and relaxation, because you will have been pushing really, really hard. Take time to play. Take time to just enjoy life. And you may find even taking a vacation during the month of April might be a very good thing for you. And May, well, by golly, you are going to have a lot of good things happening in May for yourself. Good fortune seems to be shining on you with a lot of enthusiasm. And apparently, you're really going to be getting involved with some new associations, perhaps members of family, neighbors, who are going to want you to be a part of their life and their space. They're going to want your support. Now, what about those born under the sign of Pisces? Wow, seems like money's going to be big in your picture. You're going to want, in the month of March, to really be okay. Give yourself some time to play. Also during the month of March, this is a good time for you to just do some brainstorming. Don't be afraid of your intuition. Be more self-confident. Be independent. You're developing a whole new lease on life, and in April, you're going to find that you may have an opportunity to evolve into a two-year period here that's going to allow you, if you're really working on career, to see some tremendous steps of accomplishment. Money. Money, 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 money. You're really going to want to not only earn more money, but you're also going to want to save it because of a big dream that you have. And I want to say, know that your home life, your private life, is really going to mean a lot to you. Give it the tender, loving care that it needs. Also, for those of you under the sign of Pisces during the month of May, get involved in something that's creative. Go ahead, get outside, get your hands in the dirt, do some gardening, do some landscaping, do some decorating maybe in your home. Go ahead and get involved, a hands-on happening. It will enable you to work any kinks out of your system that maybe could cause you to feel frustrated, that maybe you're not doing things as quickly as you would like. Well, get out, get involved, and you are going to find the month of May is going to be a wonderfully rewarding period for you. So that's just a little bit about your 2000 spring horoscope, and that was for Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. And tomorrow, how about Libras and Scorpios in Sagittarians? I'll cover a little bit of that for you. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat, 877-876-5227. Or from Canada, 888-810-8322. Now, I do want to mention to those of you who are in the state of Washington that I'm going to be appearing at the Northwest Women's Show. And we have tens of thousands of women that come out to this yearly program, and it is for 3 days, May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, and I'm so delighted to be able to be there. I'm going to be in booth number 406, so I do hope you'll come by and say hello, and I'm also going to be giving a program each day while I am there, and then I'll be available just to chat with if you so desire, even have many consultations. Now, this is being held at Quest Field in downtown Seattle, and you can go into my website, go into my newsletter portion, and you'll find the information posted also on my calendar. That information will be posted as well. And for those of you in New York, I'm going to be back in New York City. I've got a trip right at the very end of the month, and if you should want to meet with me privately for sessions, I'm doing an appearance at the National Publicity Summit, then just know that I'm going to be available. I do have a small window of time that I'm working with, but I will be available for private appointments in person or by telephone. Well, I know we're going to be going to break in just a little bit, but I thought I would share with you, this is spring, and I don't know about you, but for some reason, when this time of the year hits, maybe it's because we're getting more sunshine, and you just get this urge where you want to start going through your home, clean things up, maybe change the decor in the home because you're coming into the warmer months, maybe bringing fresh flowers into the home, but also you think, gee whiz, I really need to get rid of some stuff. Well, if you want to get some clutter out of your house, if you've got an old PC, or maybe going through your wardrobe, you say, gee, I haven't worn this outfit in 5 years or 10 years, or it's just not my style anymore. Let's look at how you can recycle it. What if you want to find a home for an old computer? Well, why don't you contact the National Christina Foundation? And you know what? They'll connect you up with a school or an organization that will be delighted to take your old computer. Now, it's Christina, CRISTINA.org. And these are wonderful organizations, and there are so many of them out there, so I'm just giving you a few just as a suggestion. If you're wanting to donate old prom dresses for young girls that are going to be going to dances, and believe me, they have a love of some of the older styles. So if you've got some dresses that are really old and you know you're never going to wear them again, gals, just get them out of your closet. Here is a website, fairygodmothersinc.com. Inc.com. I didn't say that right. Fairygodmothersinc.com. And your old suits can help out-of-work women interview for jobs if you donate them to dressforsuccess.org. That's another website, dressforsuccess.org. Old cell phones, the Wireless Foundation reprograms phones and gives them to women at risk for domestic violence. So we've got a couple of websites you can explore. We've got calltoprotect.org, calltoprotect.org, or sherrytablerecycling.org, C-H-A-R-I, tablerecycling.org. And books, donate them to readerforreader.org. They send them to kids all over the country. Do you know they've distributed over 300,000 books to kids that were affected by Hurricane Katrina? So those old children's books really can be utilized. This is Donna Sebo. We've got more to share with you. Hey, just stay tight right where you are, and we'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
McDonald's Northwest Women's Show is a show that's all about you, your body, your spirit, your life. Hundreds of exhibits, five entertainment stages, and best of all, shopping. Hear Marianne Williamson, Oprah's expert on spiritual guidance, love, and miracles, and celebrity fitness guru and author Bob Green. March 23rd through 25th, 10 till 6 daily at Quest Field Event Center. McDonald's Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing. Show information at nwwomenshow.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Toll-free number 877-876-5227. From Canada, 888-810-8322. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. I want to thank those of you who are sending me emails. I've gotten some wonderful, wonderful stuff on St. Paddy's Day, and I'll be sharing that with you as we go along. One of the items that I've come across for St. Paddy's Day, which I thought was just charming, was a delightful poem. And it's, "Hold a shamrock in your hand, catch a leprechaun if you can. Pipes and drums, rainbows and gold, the St. Patrick's Day fun never grows old." And that's a poem by Ashton Mills. There's so much fun with St. Paddy's. My husband for so many years has sung for different groups and the Danny Boy and so many of the Irish favorites. It's just a wonderful excuse to have a party. And I remember when I was a kid, it was always, make sure you wear green, otherwise you're going to get pinched. So there's just a lot of fun with the holiday. And I just encourage you, if you have an opportunity to go someplace where you can sing and you can just enjoy good fellowship with people, then do that, because St. Paddy's Day is just a lot of fun. And the Irish, oh, they have such a wonderful love of music, and their music just fills your heart and your mind in a wonderful, wonderful way. Hey, do sometimes you get so hungry for something that is really, really good, but you want to keep it light? You don't want to have a whole bunch of calories. Well, shrimp scampi is a favorite of so many people. And I don't know about you, but if you're trying to watch the carb level where you're not taking in so many, this is something that often is served with noodles. But I'm going to share a tip with you that you can utilize. And actually, this can serve you well in many different applications. But I thought I would share this shrimp scampi primavera with you because it is so good. Now, this is a recipe where you're going to want to use linguine noodles, and you just need like a half a pound of them, and this is going to serve about four people. And you want to get a pound of large shrimp, peeled and deveined, and of course, just about any fish market is going to have that ready for you. You're going to need about a half a teaspoon of salt, 3 tablespoons of olive oil, 3 tablespoons of olive oil, 4 cloves of garlic, and mince it up real fine, 4 cloves of garlic finely minced, 1/2 teaspoon of crushed red pepper flakes, and this is optional. You may not like it spicy, but if you do, 1/2 teaspoon is enough just to give it that little bit of a bite, and then 6 ounces of sugar snap peas, which is about 1.5 cups. They are so sweet and wonderful with the shrimp. 6 ounces of sugar snap peas, about 1.5 cups, and then 1/3 cup of white wine. If you don't like to use wine, then use chicken broth, 1/3 cup of white wine or chicken broth, and then 3 tablespoons each of butter and chopped fresh parsley, 3 tablespoons each of butter and chopped fresh parsley, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, and then 1/8 teaspoon of grated lemon zest. Fresh is better, but you can also use dried. Now, this is so simple, and it's so fast. All you need to do is cook your linguine according to the package directions and drain it. And then what you can do while that's cooking, it takes about, 10-12 minutes for linguine. You take your shrimp, and in another nice saucepan, you take and sprinkle the shrimp with a tiny bit of salt. You put that to the side, and in your large nonstick skillet, you heat 2 tablespoons of oil over medium-high heat. Add your garlic and your pepper flakes, if you're using the pepper flakes. Cook that for just about a minute, just till it gets nice and warm. Then you add your shrimp. Cook the shrimp, turning it only once, and it's cooked when it's pink and opaque. It's about 2 minutes per side. And then you remove the shrimp with a slotted spoon from the skillet. Put it to the side. In the same skillet, you put in the remaining oil, add your peas and a little bit of salt. Cook, stirring it occasionally until the peas are just tender. Usually it's under 4 minutes for this. Add your wine. Let that all simmer together very nicely for about a minute. Stir in the butter until it's melted. You add your parsley, your lemon juice, your pasta, and your shrimp, and you toss it all together until it's heated through. It takes less than 3 minutes, and here you have this fabulous dish. You can put it on a beautiful platter to serve it. Again, it's for about 4 people. Now, if you're like me and you don't want to have the carbs that the linguine obviously is going to bring to this dish, try something with vegetables. A wonderful vegetable that you can use, and you could still use the butter, the wine, etc., is spinach. Mm-hmm. You can take and use spinach if you don't want to use the linguine. So it's up to you, but if you wanted to fix something on the side for yourself, you could have something deliciously flavorful that you could take a portion of that shrimp and put it right in with your spinach, and it saves you a chunk of calories and keeps those carbs down too. So just use your imagination. When you're cooking, many times you can substitute or do things. Food is just such a wonderful way of being able to enjoy life, and it is just, it is so very important. I know lots of times people say, I just eat to live. Well, yeah, that's fine. But I'll tell you what, good food, good fellowship with people, sharing good food with people is one of the greatest joys in life. It is so satisfying. And you know what? When you're sharing good food with good people and you're having good conversation, have you noticed you don't eat so much? You don't need to. You're having such a good time in that fellowship with others. And I think that's something so often we forget about. You can enjoy, have a fabulous time with people, and good food, by the way, for you single people. You need to remember a good arrangement of food or being able to share a meal with someone is one of the best ways to have good conversation and find out a lot about people. People like to do that. They like to interact with others. Well, I know we're almost out of time, and there's some things I wanted to share with you regarding animals, but with the remaining time that we have here, I do want to say we have a wonderful gal tomorrow, Jennifer Loudon. We're going to be talking about how to organize life a little bit better. And I think that's going to be very helpful. She's a delightful lady. I know you'll enjoy her. And don't forget, we've got a great lineup of people for next week. Tell your friends about the show. And if you have any questions or comments about our programming or maybe subjects that you'd like to hear more about, do send us some information, send us an email via, there's a comment button that you can do right on the BBS.com website. Let us know what you think. We want to hear from you. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You have so much to offer in this world, and you are very, very special, and I'm so delighted you're sharing your day with me. This is Donna Siebel. God bless. We'll be back same time, same place, right here on BBSRadio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.